Psalm 16, verse 11. It's a very popular place, isn't it? I'm sure you've seen it. We have NKJV. I'm using the second and the last part of that scripture. It said, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever." Amen. Amen. Now let's dissect the word of God before we go. It said in that place, I was just going to skip, "You will show me the path of life, but I want to walk with, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forever." Let's use the word there. In the presence. In the presence. When you talk about being present, we are talking about being there. And many a times we are thinking the presence of God is when God comes down, isn't it? And in the Old Testament, we've had series of places when God came down. We have a series of Abraham when God came down. God spoke to him audibly. God spoke to him face to face. God even walked with him. We have that when the presence of God. We also know in the Old Testament, there have been series of time when God appeared to people and spoke to them one-on-one. But in this generation, in the time of grace, the presence of God is ever, everywhere we are. Why do you believe that? That the presence of God is everywhere? Because he says it's the omnipresence. How many of you know that God is here? He said, "Where two or three and gather, I will be where?" So is God here? Oh, come on. Let me show you something. When you know the presence of the Lord is somewhere, how can some people experience the presence of God and some do not experience the presence of God? What's the difference? Why? How? Because my God said it's a spirit, and those that will worship him, though we enter into his presence, will worship him and the spirit and in truth. Have you ever been in a church or you've seen a service online where worship songs or minister being ministered and some people are tearful and some people are looking like this? Was it that God was with somebody and God is not with somebody? No. What makes a difference in the presence of God is if you key into the presence of the Lord. And so when you are here today and you say, "Oh, I don't feel blessed," it's because you don't key into the presence of God. Because God is ever present. The Bible says a very present help in time of trouble. And the Bible says the days of our trouble is always there. See, daily is fullness of problem. For in the day, in the trouble, there is day, a trouble in every day. So what God is saying, the presence of God is here. It is for you to key in into the presence of God. Now, how do you key into the presence of God? By being in the spirit. You know, I said to you earlier, I said, let's not look at the instrumentalists or the choir leading us. You know why? Because I wanted to know that the presence of God is not a function of the music or the function of the instrument. It's a function of your spirit. When you key into the presence of God, you see God manifesting straight away. I'm sure during the praise and worship, how many of you ever thought, have you seen me opening my eyes during the praise and worship? You know why I close my eyes? Because I don't want to be distracted by people who are not praising God the way I want them. So I don't see somebody who is picking teeth while they praise, or somebody who is checking his or her phone. I don't want to be distracted. So I close my eyes and be in my own spirit, because God is very individualistic. If you are serving God, it's not about the crowd. You might be in the midst of the crowd and be lonely. In the presence of God, in the presence, you key into the presence. So when you want to see God, when you want to see God overflowing this month, you must be ready to be in the presence of the Lord. Say to your neighbor, be in his presence. And when I say, that's why in the presence, presence of the Lord is not in church. We only meet less than 8 hours every week in the church. Less than one quarter, one third of a day, we meet in church. So what happened to after church? If you don't come to Bible study 6 to 8, which is 2 hours, if you don't come to church service, for workers, they come 9 to 1 o'clock or thereabout, or from non-workers, from 10 o'clock or 11 to about 1 o'clock, that's about 3, 4 hours. So what happened to the remaining part of the days? And then you say, oh, it's not been functioning for me. It's not been working for me. It's not that God is not there. His presence is always inside you. Those that will worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Who can show me his spirit? It's not visible. It's inside. It's inside you. See, when the choir are singing, and some of us, you know, I'm in front of, this guy is not singing very well, and so I'm not keying into it. It's because your spirit man is not keying in. Even if they bring somebody who cannot sing, for your spirit man enter, you enter into his presence of the Lord. And his presence is daily, is hourly, is midly, is secondly. It is there every time. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Enter into his court with praise. Psalm 100. You see, when you enter into the presence of God, even in the place of work, you are still miming, you are still singing, and people start asking you, you're singing. I mean, I've been in office before, and I was singing, and people are looking at, they appreciate it. No, they're not looking at me strangely as you bad, you know. I'm looking, I love it. You're singing in office. That seems to be very ridiculous. You are singing because your presence, the presence of God, has nothing to do with location. It's everywhere. The Bible says they put Paul and Silas in prison. They are still praising and praying. They put Daniel in the midst of the lion. He's still speaking to the king. So the presence of God is what will bring the overflowing blessing. He said, in the presence of the Lord, who is God? The Almighty. How do you describe the Almighty? You know, when I was younger, we do watch all these the wrestling sport, and you see some people, they call them mighty. They are very big, they're strong, and you can see that sometimes they will ask one man to fight about 3 people, and he will still win them because he's strong, he's mighty. And that's what Goliath thought when he saw David. He thought he's mighty, he's strong, he's tall, he's big, he has the element, he has everything. He can fight and destroy. But we are talking about all. The all means the supreme, non-limited ability. In the presence of Almighty, the Bible says, my God shall do exceedingly. I don't know how I'm not good in English, but look at the word exceedingly. It means it's beyond. That's where the overflowing is coming. Beyond your thinking. Yesterday, I was listening to Reverend George Adeboye. You know, was talking about mental change, mental growth. You know, above what you can think, your ability to think cannot be rationalized in the presence of God. Because whatever you can rationalize, God can do beyond that. The children of Israel have never seen water, river, ocean open before, but in the presence of God, the ocean will open. When they are trying to calculate how we're going to feed 1 million, over 1 million people in the wilderness, don't rationalize God, because it can bring manna from heaven. When they are thinking, how can I give water to millions of people, God called a rock to bring forth water. So in the presence of God, the mighty God, the God that can do beyond your imagination. So when you're talking about overflowing, you don't look at your salary. You don't look at your immigration status. You don't look at your skin. You don't look at your age. You don't look at your qualification. Because this has nothing to do with the mightiness of our God. We are not talking about God that says, okay, I can do this today. I won't do this tomorrow. My God that the rulers bow before. Now, look at the greatest person. The greatest power in the world is the devil. Isn't it? Look at anybody that can. Is that they have the spirit of God, the spirit of the devil. And the head of the devil, of the spirit of the evil, is what? The devil. But in this presence, the devil will bow down. I at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee, it doesn't matter. He said, both in heavens, the second heaven, where they have their territory, they bow. Because when you say the name of Jesus, it just destroys every hurdles and shackles and chains, because that is the power. And so we're talking about God that can do all things. And the presence of the Lord, it means the ruler. The ruler, the law-making God. The God that can change the law and say, this happens before, but this will not happen again. Do you know how he did that? He was saying to Sarah, I made you barren. If you read your Bible clearly, the Bible says Sarah was barren. And then God made a womb to be opened. So if there's anyone here, you are thinking you're spiritually barren, physically barren, mentally barren, academically barren, financially barren, whatever you can call barrenness, my God is able to make a way for you in Jesus' name. In the presence of God, there's a fullness of joy. What is joy? You know, I love the way my wife took Sunday school today. You know, the causes and the problem of unforgiveness and anger on the impact on the physical body. One, you know, mention different sicknesses and diseases that come upon you when you don't forgive. But it said in the presence of God is a fullness of joy. Say to somebody, carry the fullness of God. See, when you carry the fullness of God, it gives you one, happiness. That's the fullness of joy. Happiness of being with God. Complete satisfaction, peace, satiate joy, and more than enough. When you have the presence of God, it makes you more than happy. You know, you could see somebody, and they say it in Africa a lot, you know. Even somebody who had not eaten, they are still saying it's going to be better. Tomorrow will be better. You know, that kind of assurance of better tomorrow, when you have the presence of God. You have joy that is cannot be quantified by man, the joy that cannot be as a result of man. In his presence, there's a fullness of joy. And at his right hand, where is the right hand of God? Who is at the right hand of God? The Bible said to his son, who is at his right hand? Jesus Christ. Jesus is at the right hand of God. So he said, in his right hand, in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, where then there is pleasure forever. When you are in the right hand of God, the way you can know the meaning of a right hand, go and ask Jacob. When Jacob was about to bless his grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh, his intention was to make Ephraim to be the first to be blessed at his right hand, and for Ephraim to be the second, and he put his hand to bless. So Jacob changed the children and put Manasseh to the left and Ephraim to the right, and Jacob crossed his hand to bless according, because in the right hand there is fullness of joy, there is blessing unquantifiable. And he said, there's pleasures forever. What does it mean to have pleasure forever? That is where the blessings of this month comes in. Overflowing blessing. Pleasure forever means God naturally dish out his blessing upon you on a daily basis. When you go out this month, be in his presence, because his presence, it gives you an overflowing blessing. And so when things begin to happen and you cannot say to God, I'm in your presence, and in your presence there's overflowing joy, overflowing blessing forever. It's not an intermediate one. It's not one that comes and goes. It's not the one that comes and leaves. It's the one that remains forever. I think somebody will be happy to be in the presence of God. I want you to just know that this month, God says, I will give you an overflowing blessing. The way you can understand the overflowing blessing is when you have more than enough. I'm not talking about more than enough of finance, of business, or career. I'm not talking about more than enough of food. I'm talking about more than enough of his presence in your life. When you this begins, you know, last few days, you know, certain things happen. You know what they call problem-solving grace. I will say to God, I say, Lord, this is a problem. I can't solve it now. And I was sharing with somebody here, you know, before I finish talking, within 5 minutes, God is bringing somebody into my life and say, that is the solution. Another one happened. I say, God, I can't understand. I can't solve this thing. He'll give me a solution. Before, I just like in the last few days, problem comes, God gives grace. And that's what they call overflowing blessing. I pray today, the Lord will give you a blessing that you cannot he cannot finish, but your generation unborn, we have in the name of Jesus. The person that experienced that most was a man called Abraham. And the Bible made it clear, Abraham asked the blessings of the Lord. So much he gave to his children. And from his children, grandchildren. From grandchildren to us. Today, we call ourselves the seed of Abraham. Why? Because of the blessings of the Lord that flows. Can we rise on our feet? Because we want to bless God for his overflowing blessing. I wanted to ask God, ought somebody, because we learn the power of connection. I wanted to ought somebody and pray for that person and say, Lord, let your presence abide with my partner. Begins to pray for that person and ask God for the presence of God to dwell in the hearts of this your partner. And pray, Father, to give him or her the overflowing blessing this month that he will begin to experience God to the fullness of heaven. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for your children. I pray, my Father, that this month, O Lord, let your children go into your presence with the fullness of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. We want to go into the Thanksgiving. We'll pray the last prayer before the end. But it's time to worship, to do our Thanksgiving. The choir, it's time to do the Thanksgiving. If you are here right now,